If you didn't get that, it was Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see so many of you. I do hope that you can hear at the back. And I might ask Simon, who's doing our sound, just to turn up the volume a little bit. We've realized that when you're right at the back, you can't hear too well. So that means that those who are at the front of the speakers in the hall, you might get a bit blasted. I hope you don't mind. It's for the sake of those right at the back. We are going to install some speakers at the back for the future, so it will be better. But for today, if the volume could go up a touch. Well, a blessed Christmas to everybody that is here today. It's a wonderful morning. It's indeed a time to say blessed Christmas, because Jesus is a blessing. And we've seen that in all the songs that we've been singing. It's about Jesus and the fact that he's come into this world to make it possible for human beings to be right with God is indeed a blessing. So blessed Christmas, everybody. My name is Craig Newell. For those who don't know, I'm one of the pastors here in this church, and I'm going to be speaking to you just a little bit from the two readings that were given. Let's pray, and then we will have a look at these verses. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning. We acknowledge that it is indeed a wonderful morning, because this morning we celebrate and we rejoice over the fact that just about 2,000 years ago, into this world came God in human form to make things right, that it might be possible for human beings to be in a right relationship with you. And so help us to understand some more of that as we look at these two parts of the Bible now. And we commend this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as a child, I remember seeing many nature programs, and I'm sure everyone here has seen a nature program. But I remember being disturbed, often disturbed by these programs when they showed animals eating each other. And so a picture of a snake coming along and dislocating its jaws and swallowing a whole frog. As a child, I used to feel so sorry for that poor frog. Or sharks breaching up out of the ocean, and they expose their toothy gums, and then they rip into a terrified seal. I'd look at these things and I'd be disturbed. Or the lions on the African plains, and how they would run in a team and then jump up onto a wildebeest and get it by the neck and pull it down and then tear into its flesh, gorging on its body. These are disturbing things. Perhaps you know Alfred Lord Tennyson's famous line from his poem known as In Memoriam. In that poem, he says, "Nature, red in tooth and claw." Because you see, nature is a dangerous realm. It is a dangerous realm of frightening beasts. And so have that in your mind. Have beasts in your mind. It's no wonder, thinking about beasts, that in the Bible, God uses images of beasts to describe the nations of our world, all the nations of our world, with their kings and with their rulers and with their authorities. Well, they are described in beastly terms. When you take the powers of our world from all of history, when you take all the powers that exist now and put them all into some sort of a group, you'll find that it's blood-soaked. It is beastly. I'm always struck by the statistic that says that the 20th century is the most violent century in all of history. Now, we are in the 21st century, but we're in the early part of it. And so when it says that, that statistic of the 20th century, this is our time. Really, this is our time. The most violent in all of history. It tops the list. And so something is clearly wrong. Something is horribly wrong. Well, we come to the first reading that was given to us this morning, and it comes from Daniel. He was an ancient prophet of God. And in Daniel chapter 7, he describes a vision that he had, a vision that God gave him. And the reading that we had is partway through that vision. If you have a Bible, it would be good for you to have that open, Daniel 7, because we're going to look there now. If you don't have a Bible, the verses will come up on the screen. Now, the reading we had this morning is partway into the vision. But before the part that we had this morning, before that part, God gives Daniel images of devouring beasts. And he uses this to describe human power. And I want to give you a bit of a taste, because we didn't read that part. But let me give you a bit of a taste. Let me show you verse 5, for instance, of Daniel 7. And behold, says Daniel in his vision, another beast, a second one, like a bear. It was raised up on one side. It had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And it was told, arise, devour much flesh. And then move on to verse 7 and see this. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. This part of Daniel is full on these horrible images, of these beastly images, and that is God's description of our world. Now, we live in Australia, and we might say, well, we don't experience that. I'm not familiar with that kind of thing. That's not Australia. But throughout history, and in many parts of our world today, through the majority of history and through the majority of our world today, people live under tyranny. They live very difficult lives under beastly rule. But you know, even if we don't experience the raw tyranny that has been the world norm for ages and ages, we do see the seeds of this beastly nature. We see it in human beings. We see it in human nature. For at the end of the day, if we are honest, this beastly nature is in every single heart, every single human heart. All people are beastly to some extent. I know this because, well, I'm in Christian ministry. And the problems that I see between human beings in their relationships, whether it's their friendships or their work relationships, in their marriages, what I see in this turmoil and the swirling of trouble in relationships is pride. We see ourselves as better. We see ourselves as entitled. We see ourselves as kings, as most important. We look out, really at the end of the day, we look out for me first. And that is beastly. I know this from children. I've been around children. I've been raising children. I've got family with children. I've got friends with children. I've seen this over and over again. You know, that attitude of mine, my turn, That's not fair. And the snatching, that's mine. Or the attitude, mine is better than yours. I know more than you. My daddy is bigger than your daddy. You know, that kind of thing. And it's there from really, really, really young. And then, of course, from all of that, in the kids comes the scraps and the fighting. That nature, that beastly nature is there already from the start. And really, I know it also because I know myself. I know myself very, very well. And that tendency is in my heart too. And so the question then comes, what hope is there for this world if that is the nature of every human being? Be it us in our little kingdoms, our homes, our houses, or be it that it's the governments of the world. What hope is there for this world if that is what human beings are like? We can try and suppress this problem. We can try enact some laws that will deal with it. We can try education and hope that that will change people. But let's be honest, let's face it, we will never be able to get rid of this problem. You know, we think that we are so progressive in the West today. And yet, as far as I can see, and it's quite overwhelming, delinquency and outrage are just everywhere. They are at astonishing highs. Just as a small example, in WA, we have been seeing in the news of late so many stories of teachers being attacked in their schools by their pupils. Just driving along a few months back, listening to the radio, listening to 6PR, the Minister of Education admitted on radio that there is a serious and unprecedented problem in this area. And there are many other indicators of this beastly nature in people, even in Australia. And so the question again, what hope is there? What hope is there? Well, Daniel's vision goes on. After his disturbing vision of four devouring beasts, he is given a different scene. It is a scene that makes these devouring beasts become like insects, become like nothing. So powerful, so horrific. And then you get this new scene, and they like nothing. You see, there's an added perspective that comes now, and this is the reading that we had today, an added perspective, and it changes everything. It's like a cropped photograph. I want to ask the... There we go. See that photograph over there? You're swimming in the water, and you're looking down, and you see that shadow, and you think, oh my word, I'm in trouble. There's a shark, I'm in great trouble. But you need some perspective if we could have the next picture. It's just a little ducky. And there he is paddling along. It's his shadow. And so that horror, that moment of horror dissipates. It's nothing. It's nothing. And so when you add this scene of what we read this morning, when you get the full picture, you realize that these devouring beasts are actually nothing. There's much more to see. And so listen to Daniel going further and listen to the vision described in verses 9 to 10 and see how it changes everything. As I looked, says Daniel, thrones were placed and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames. Its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000 thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. What is Daniel looking at? Well, Daniel is now looking into heaven, and there he sees the Ancient of Days. Who is that? Well, that is God himself. And God is portrayed there as absolutely pure. His clothing is as white as snow, and his hair is white like wool, like pure wool. That's telling us that he is pure. And then he's portrayed as immensely powerful. There's the throne of fire. There are the thousands that serve him. And the 10,000 times 10,000 that are standing before him. That is massive. That is an image that makes any nation on earth like a tin pot country. You know those nations that love to parade their power and they have all their troops on parade going past and all their war machinery and their rockets parading past. They look so great. They are a tin pot nothing when it comes to this display. As we see into heaven, as Daniel sees into heaven. But you know what? This is not just some ceremonial display of power. This is a courtroom. And the king and the creator of our world is presiding in this courtroom. Verse 10 says that the court sat in judgment and the books were opened. And we find when we read verses 11 and 12 that the power of these beastly nations, the power of these beastly rulers is judged. It's destroyed. It's nothing. They are nothing next to this power. But the thing is, now that they're judged and destroyed, well, who's going to rule? The world needs a leader. You can't just leave things in a vacuum. Who will replace these judged rulers and these powers of our world? Well, certainly not one of us, because we have the beastly nature in us as well. Not us. So who will it be? God had meant for people, for human beings to reign. That had always been his plan. But we can't do it. I can't do it because I still have in me this me first attitude. And so we read on and on into Daniel's vision and we find that someone special is coming. If you have the text, read verses 13 to 14 with me, or follow as I read them. Daniel says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. In other words, a human, one born into humanity. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. The kingdom's been taken away from the beastly lot. He has been given the kingdom. And look what happens. Such that all peoples, nations, and language should serve him. All peoples. The peoples, the tribes and the tongues and the ethnic groups of the world will serve this one. What kind of a human being is this? That people serve him. He's served. That tells me that he's more than an ordinary man. You can translate that word that he's worshipped. So people are coming and they are bowing before him. What kind of a human being is that? He's more than a human being. And then it says his dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. The beastly nations, the beastly kingdoms all through time, eventually just gone. And he will have a kingdom, a global kingdom, rule over everything, and will go on forever and ever. Who is this one that God has promised in this vision written so long ago? Who is this man who is worshipped? Well, we turn to Luke chapter 1, which was read from earlier on. And if you still have that, it'll be good to be there. And starting at verse 26, the angel Gabriel visits Mary to tell her of the special child she is to have. And this is what Mary is told. Verse 32. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He's going to come from the kingly line of Israel's high king, the best king they ever had, King David, as God had promised. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. What you have here is Son of Man stuff. He is a human. He comes from David's family line. And can you start to see how it fits with Daniel 7? He's a Son of Man, and he will reign forever, as was promised in Daniel 7. And then have a look at these verses from Luke chapter 1. One verse, verse 35. And the angel answered her, because she wondered how this is possible. The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." He's not only human. He is holy because he is the Son of God. And so in Jesus you find the fulfillment of what was promised in Daniel. In Jesus you find the one that is human, the only human that has ever lived who has no trace of beast in him at all. In Jesus is the only human being who can and who will rule perfectly forever and ever. This is why the wise men came. If you know the story of Christmas, these wise men from foreign lands came. They are other nations. They are other tribes. They are other peoples. And what do? They bow before the child. They worship the child because it's been revealed to them who this child is. They bow to Jesus. He will be Lord over them. And that is the response that is called for from all human beings, all over the Bible. The call is, bow to King Jesus, for he is the King. All people are to bow down and to serve him. He came into our world that first Christmas as a king who would go to a cross to go and die and to pay on that cross the sin price of all human beings that believe. He loves people that much that he makes it possible for us to be forgiven and put into a right relationship with God. He is wonderful. But he is the king who is going to return at the end of time. And he is the king who is going to judge. And he is the king who is then going to set up his kingdom in its fullness. The great joy of Christmas is that in this king, forgiveness for sin can be found. And that for those who accept that forgiveness, who receive that forgiveness, a new world awaits, a perfect new world in which you, if that is you, will live forever. You will live forever. This is for all those who believe. And so the question goes out this morning as we look at these things in the Bible. An ancient promise comes true 2,000 years ago. The rest will certainly come true because some of it has already come true. And so the question goes out this morning, where do you stand? Christmas is the end of a long road of promises. Promises that come true. The question is, do you believe? Have you bowed to King Jesus? Well, if you're unsure, and you're not sure what to do with all of this, we would encourage you, because this is the most important thing ever in your life, we would encourage you to go and look into these things some more. Perhaps you could start by picking up the neighborhood VIP, which is on the little round table just out the doors. Take one of these and read through it and see how it explains more about Jesus and what you can do to put your faith in him and your trust in him and be forgiven and look forward to living forever in the new world that he will rule over. If you want to talk more about these things, and we would love to talk to you, as you go out the door, right on the wall, there's some black letterboxes. And near one of them are cards that look like this. They're welcome cards. Just put your name and contact details on there and just say, please call me. And during the next week, we will call you and set up a time for a conversation where you can talk and ask questions. We'd love to show you how you can put your faith in Jesus and be certain that you're right with him and that you look forward to that time when he will rule in the new world and you'll be part of it. Well, if you do believe, it is the truth of what we've just been hearing from these passages in the Bible that lead us to sing these words which we're about to sing in our last carol. The last carol says this, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King." If you believe, let's sing that and let's rejoice over it. But before we sing, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you and we thank you for your marvelous plan. What a wonderful plan that you've put together. So well laid out with all of those promises through the prophets of the ages, coming true at the right time. Lord, the King has come, and we thank you for Jesus. And we pray that you would help us to rejoice this Christmas time, not only in the next carol, but right the way through the day, and on into the week, and on into the new year, that if we believe, we are right with you because of King Jesus' price on the cross. And we look forward to this new world, which will be perfect, and everything beastly will be gone. We thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen.